hear somebody say we're more collegiate one more time, I'll scream. But I think to give the Prime Minister his due, and also Senator Cash, he has claimed that they've been more successful getting legislation through this Senate than they did in the previous 3 years. And it's true.
Hello, I'm Michelle Bratton, and this is the Conversations Politics Podcast. With multiple senators being referred to the High Court to decide their eligibility, Attorney General George Brandis has said that you might be forgiven for thinking that being a senator is one of the most hazardous occupations in Australia at the moment. Famously known as the human headline, former broadcaster turned Senator Derek Hinch from the Justice Party has been in the Senate for just over a year and witnessed this rather extraordinary period. He's with us today to talk about his experiences and the issues. Derek Hinch, we should probably start by giving you a shout out for being seen as a standout politician in recent Fairfax Ipsos focus group research. Participants praised you for your ability to stand by your beliefs and your willingness to speak your mind. Are you defying the trend, which is for people to hate politicians?
I think they still hate a lot of politicians, but I was a bit flattered and chuffed when I saw the headlines on the SMH and the Canberra Times and The Age saying I was the most trusted politician in the country. Maybe it's because I haven't been here as long as everybody else.
You don't have any other tricks of the trade?
No. I've always been known, I guess, for decades that I speak my mind and I say what I think. And as we've seen on the plebiscite, I'll stick with my beliefs on it and what the party's... We campaigned for same-sex marriage and we're staying with it.
Now, in the past year that you've been in the Senate, what have been your impressions? What have been the main surprises in federal politics?
Sounding like a politician, I didn't realise it would be such hard work or such long hours. People think you don't work hard. The time wasted in the Senate is a disgrace. I didn't realise that we filibustered just as much as they do in the United States Senate. And I think that could be... I'm actually on a committee with David Leinhelm trying to shorten some of these things.
Well, he's a good talker.
Yeah, but we want to cut the 20 minutes back to 15, because in the House of Reps it's only 15. And I've also, this week I was talking to questioning... I got my fortnightly question, once a month, whatever it is, to the Attorney General representing the Prime Minister. And I asked a question about same-sex marriage and I asked a follow-up question. Then I said, following my principles, Mr. President, I forfeit my second supplementary question because these are a waste of time, the same way all Dorothy Dixes are a waste of time. They should sit out press releases. I'm trying to get that done back like the House of Reps or the other place, as I must now call it. In the other place, they don't get supplementaries. I'd like to see the system in question time. You ask a question, and it should be called no answer time because you don't get answers. I'd like to see the one question asked, and when you don't get an answer satisfactorily, then you can follow up once. But I think the third question should be dumped. And I wouldn't even mind seeing, it would be nice to see, instead of asking Dorothy Dixes, why don't the government backbenchers be allowed to ask questions of the opposition front bench?
Well, that's a novel idea. But on the supplementaries, surely if they're done well, it does give you an opportunity to pin down the minister and to stop him or her escaping.
I think if you get back to him once, him or her once, but the Dorothy Dixes, and they read them so badly. They haven't written them themselves, you know that. They've been thrust in front of them and they just churn these things out and it's a waste of time.
Now, this Senate has been particularly interesting because it's seen a lot of upheavals and changes just in this short period. Since the election, there have been six senators that have either been previously or currently referred to the High Court. How much difference has these upheavals made, in fact? Because, of course, there's a very civilised arrangement between the parties that they don't affect the numbers.
Yeah, I find that strange. But look, one of the indicative things this week over this, because I believe, and the motion was put by Senator Di Natale to have this whole matter of citizenship referred to the Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee and have an independent auditor audit everybody. And I supported that. All the crossbench supported that. 14 of us, I think it was, supported all that. And the major parties sat against us. I wish I could have got a photograph and showed this is when a crossbench works and this is when the boys' club kicks in, because Labor, Nationals and the Libs didn't want to do it, and they should have. I mean, we had One Nation, the Greens, Xenophon, Hinch, all over there on the one side of the house.
Now, you yourself had an issue potentially with dual citizenship, and you checked it out and dealt with it. Shouldn't people be able to do that? Shouldn't the responsibility be on the individuals to do that?
Of course it is. It's a backhanded compliment, but it was said at the time, well, if the human headline can check it out and fix it, it can't be that hard.
That's very backhanded. What was your situation?
Well, I became an Australian citizen 37 years ago, 1980. And in last December, when I was thinking, well, we're going to have a party, we're going to try and stand, and maybe I get elected. And I thought, I better check it out. Am I still a New Zealand citizen? Because I've been an Australian since 1980. And I wrote to them, and they said, yes, you are. And they said, but send us your New Zealand passport. I said, well, I don't have one. I haven't a clue. I haven't used one in decades. So then I sent them my Australian passport, and they wouldn't take it. They said, that's not proof. They said, because passports are too easily forged. So I said, well, send me the bloody papers. They sent me the genuine papers, and I got a JP to sign them, sent them back. And then by now it's getting to be early 2016, and there's rumours about an election. So I...
Panic time.
So I phoned the Department of Internal Affairs, whatever it is, in New Zealand, and said, hey, where is it? And I phoned them twice, and had long talks, and they got me through. By March the 7th, I got the papers back, signed, sealed, and delivered. And Turnbull called an election in the May. So everybody should do it.
So why make it easy by an audit at taxpayers' expense?
Well, people are lying. Or they're pleading ignorance. Now, in any court of law, ignorance is no defence. I mean, if you've got Greek parents, or I had to talk to Sam Dastiari just again today about his situation, because he's from Iran. I think there's some complication if you never have it revoked until you've done a year's military service in the Iranian military forces. So, and
they'd find Sam too troublesome.
Yeah, well, they were, but they also, in the end, he had lawyers here and lawyers in Iran, the whole lot. So you have to do it. And as I said, just to say, I don't know. I mean, I'll leave the Cataman thing alone, just going to the High Court. But I shake my head that's a Shane Warne defence. It was Mummy's fault.
But wouldn't this audit logically have to also cover candidates, or would they be audited when they arrive?
If it would be candidate, it's up to your party to say, well, listen, you know, when you get in there, if you get in there, you'll be audited. So show us every party should be asking, what were you, who are you? And all you have to do, if you're Australian born, you know, fifth generation, just show your passport and say, or your birth certificate and say, never been anywhere else. And don't do a Malcolm Roberts and say, you know, I'm not an Indian, but I'm a true Australian.
Maybe I was yesterday.
Yes. Oh, I must admit, I'm with Senator Roberts. I tried to avoid some of this when Parliament resumed, and said to him, I talked across benches, I talked to him, I personally sat down with him in his office. He read me some of his stat deck to the President, and he explained things to me about how he hadn't travelled on a passport, he travelled his mum's Australian passport, he'd done this, he'd done that, the QC, and then... In the following 24 hours, I found out some more information, and I think I said in the Senate, when I supported the sending up to the High Court, I said, I won't say the Senator has lied, because I thought the President may pull me up on that. I said, I think he's been very economical with the truth.
You weren't as convinced as Paul Murray was on Sky.
No, that was... Or Pauline Hanson, she claimed, I saw the documentation. I've seen the documentation. You know, I must admit, watching Pauline Hanson... refer Roberts at the press conference this week, to refer Roberts to the High Court, it reminded me of an old comment we used to make during the Hinch program on television. And that was, if you're being run out of town, pretend it's a parade and you're leading it.
That's a very good line to be remembered. The High Court's going to be pretty busy. It's got all these cases. It's got the challenges to the postal vote for same-sex marriage. They're going to be grease spots, those judges, before long.
Well, the thing is, you know, all of that, the same-sex marriage one's going to be, maybe will take some time. Certainly the sixth Senate will take some time. And the weirdest
thing... Canavan case in particular.
Yeah, yeah. But the weirdest thing is that, is it McCormick, he's the minister for the ABS?
Yes, he wasn't allowed to answer the questions by his own side.
Well, I just raised that this afternoon in the Senate because... I mean, I want to know what they're officially going to call it now, because is it the plebiscite, the postal plebiscite, the public opinion poll, the survey? He used the word survey.
Yes, survey's becoming quite fashionable.
And Christopher Pyne sat him down, gagged him very quickly. So
the opposition likes that too.
Yeah, I bet they did. Maybe survey just sounds a little bit too Well, in a non-binding survey for $122 million.
Very expensive. Now, you do get the impression in the Senate that even though the government's not in a majority and the numbers are really tight and the crossbench is diverse, one might say,
Good word,
a neutral sort of way, that it's a more civilised place than the lower house, that people who are very different and have, you know, extraordinary differences in their views manage to shake along quite well.
Well, let me preface that by saying that if I hear somebody say we're more collegiate one more time, I'll scream. But I think to give the Prime Minister his due and also Senator Cash, he has claimed that they've been more successful getting legislation through this Senate than they did in the previous 3 years. And it's true. I mean, you look at the Fair Work stuff that's gone through, the ABCC went through, and in fairness to the opposition, on the Fair Works amendments, I supported Labor on about 10 or 13 amendments, which the government accepted. I opposed Labor on a couple. The Greens, although I vote with them a few times, I told Natale and Sarah Hanson-Young, I said, and especially Lee Rhiannon, I said, you guys should make a movie and we'll call it A Bridge Too Far. Because your motions come in, and I see, well, who's this one from? Well, here we come, this is from Lee. Clause one, yes, that's good. Yeah, common sense. Clause two, that's pretty good. Clause three, well, I'm not so sure if I understand that one. Clause four, you've got to be joking. And they keep doing it. And they put too much political venom into the actual motions. I think, you know, the government in the cynical way has done so. Just tell us what you think your motion should be, clean it up, and you'll get more successes.
So how do you find Pauline Hanson to deal with?
I don't know. I don't deal with her.
On principle?
Or? Oh, well, no. We used to do Sunrise together. We haven't done it for a few months now. And I'll always be civil with it. And when she made her maiden speech, I walked up and I really upset my ex-wife, Jackie Weaver, who's a good lefty. And she said, "You hugged that woman." And I said, "Well, no, I kissed her on the cheek." And she said, "No, that was a hug, you know." So how dare you?
So you've stayed clear ever since.
Oh, yeah, good advice. Now, look, I'll be civil to Pauline. I mean, she's a senator and she got elected and she deserves that respect. But you can't sit there and show respect or shake their hand when she gets up, as she did this week, and made such a savagely anti-Muslim, anti-Islamic sort of tirade. And I do give Doug Cameron his credit. He was next person to follow up in the debate, and he was going to talk about something else. And he was so incensed to hear the way she went off that I thought he couldn't let it go unchallenged, and he took her on.
Now, in light of what you've said about legislation getting through, maybe he's a bit out of date, but Tony Abbott has said that the Senate has moved from being a house of review to become a house of rejection, and he's proposed constitutional change that would have the effect of cutting back its power a great deal. Do you think that it would be desirable to make it a weaker house, or do you think that...
No, I think it's pretty good. I'm biased because I'm in there. But I make no bones about it. People have been writing me saying, oh, where's the will of the... You don't ignore the will of the people on same-sex marriage. Well, the Justice Party, one of our platforms was equal rights. I mean, I got a tough time this week over the same-sex marriage. I had calls from gay friends in Sydney saying, why have you changed your mind? Why are you voting for the plebiscite? And I said, hang on. And because it went out that way. They saw footage of me sitting with the government in the vote that was tied 31-31 and went down into the negative. But the fact was, I voted with the government because I believe in freedom of speech. I don't like the gag. I don't like the government bringing a gag, and I don't like the opposition bringing a gag. They brought it in to force it to shut it down. And I'm
so
sure,
you wanted it debated, and then you would have voted against it.
I would have voted it down. I told Brandis the night before, and I told Corbyn that morning, I'm voting with you to bring this on because I believe you're entitled to. And you had an amendment to it, which was to cut the $20 million for the yes and no causes. And I said, but I'll vote you down. You won't convince me to ever vote. This is our job. We should be voting on this, and you should be doing it now. But it came out the other way. Well, I found out why. I surprised you. Xenophon's usually pretty fair about letting motions get up, letting debates go on. And the reason they all shut it down and killed it quickly before it even got up to the debating point was they were scared that it would drag on for days, and that would give the government more time to work on Xenophon and me and get us to change our minds. And maybe there's something in that argument. But I've been so... I mean, I remember half hour before the plebiscite vote, the last time round, George Brandis came up to me and I said, don't waste a minute of your time, George. I'm not doing it. You know, I don't... It's wrong. It's just wrong. And it's not just us doing our job. What I read something today, somebody said, before they should put on the top of their survey or their postal, put something on, before I start, why I'm even being asked this question, it's none of my business, yes or no. Because it's not our business to decide whether a couple should be married or not. And last night I sat back and saw a news book somewhere, a newscast somewhere, and they'd scrolled all the countries that have legalised same-sex marriages and the year they did it. And when you see names rolling through, like South Africa, the year that they did it, then you see New Zealand, Ireland, Taiwan, and you think, this is just madness.
So do you reckon we'll have it by the end of the year or not?
Well, if the postal vote is yes, but what if only there's a 20% turnout on this? It's not compulsory. And I'm worried about the fact that it's not, as I said, it's not the AEC running it. It's the ABS. I don't know. I hope it's true. I hope it's true because my situation is this now. I hope the High Court knocks it back. But the Prime Minister said that if he does get knocked back, they're still not going to come back to a conscience vote at that stage. I would hope he gets it knocked back. I would just love Turnbull. I'd love him to say, what have I got to lose? Crash or crash through. I'll be remembered as the man who did it. You know, to hell with the rump, I'm going for it. You know? And of course, it's easy for me to say that because we saw what happened to Gough Whitlam when he decided to crash or crash through.
Darren Hinch, thank you very much for talking with us today. And
Ms. Grattan, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's all for our Conversations podcast for today. Thank you to my producer, Eliza Burlage, and we'll be back again with another interview soon.